Good evening. Please go ahead and open up your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. Due to the nature of tonight's sermon, all of the texts will be on the screen except for Nehemiah 8, which we will get to in a moment. The more and more I have read God's Word, the more I find how often it is that God gives instructions about how to teach and gives instructions to teachers about how to live their lives and how to teach. And I think that's probably because God knew ahead of time that a lot of people would be teaching, especially a lot of people would be attempting to teach His principles and teach His Word. And the more and more I have listened, the more I see, and the more I have tried to teach, the more I see that really there are good ways to teach, and there's good ways to be a teacher, and then there are really bad ways to be a teacher and to teach. And I have for some time wanted to talk and study about this because as a young preacher, people are always giving good, opinions, about how to teach. And some of them are good and some of them are bad. And it's hard as time goes on to ground yourself in God's Word and just put the expectations of God's Word on yourself for what we're supposed to be doing when we teach. But I've wanted to talk about this for quite some time, not just because this would be helpful for me in reminding me what I need to do, but because I think this is a helpful discussion for us all to be a part of, or at least for me to start for us to be a part of. And there's two reasons why I believe this is really important for all of us to be a part of this search for the teaching that pleases God. The first reason is seen in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 3 through 4. Paul says to Timothy there, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." I've said this to some people from time to time recently because it's just been something that's in my mind lately. But really, there's a reason why God refers to people as sheep. Sheep don't know where good grass is, and sheep don't know where calm waters are. And God says typically, here at least in this passage, we as sheep oftentimes don't always pick the right teachers. We all don't always really do that. And I've wanted to have this discussion for quite some time because my hope is that in having this discussion, we will put the right teachers before us, whether it be talking about preachers who do that full time or teachers for our adult Bible classes or children's Bible classes. That's all really important. Or even if one day we bring in another person to full time teach here, or maybe you move somewhere else and you're a part of that decision. We don't always pick the best of teachers, and so I think a lesson like this helps us ground ourselves in good teaching from Scripture about the type of teachers that we need to have. But I think just as important, another reason why I want to talk about this, is because really we can all find ourselves and should find ourselves in positions to be teachers of some sort or another. Notice Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7. Moses says there to the people, "You shall teach them diligently," referring to God's commands, "teach them diligently to your children, and you should talk of them, shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise." Even if we don't teach in some official capacity, Moses says, need to be teaching your family these things, need to be teaching your children about God's principles and God's rules. But then even on top of that, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, in that passage, the Hebrew writer indicts the people there because he says that by that time, all the people he was writing to, they should have been teachers, but they couldn't because they still needed the milk. They still needed the basic principles of God's Word. Something we find in Scripture is that even though we all have different gifts in certain areas and should be using those gifts a lot, There are some practices just disciplines that all Christians should be a part of. Service is one of those. We should all be servants, even though some people are going to be especially gifted in that area. Teaching is actually one of those areas that really all Christians, God wants all Christians to at least in some capacity be participating in that, even if it's just with our children, even if it's just in conversations with our friends or in Bible classes where we're making comments. Even then, when we speak to the class, there's a sense in which we're addressing people and informing them and teaching them and saying, this is the way that God wants us to live, and this is who God is. Therefore, I think this is really important because these principles and instructions for teachers are going to help us choose the right teachers and be the teachers that please God. So here's how we're going to break up the lesson. We're going to talk about three overall categories with respect to teaching. We're going to talk about things that teachers should do or must do. We're going to talk about then things that teachers must not do, should not do. And then we're going to talk about big picture goals for teaching. The first section will be the longest, talking about things that teachers should do. And I do want to make one quick note at the beginning of this. Because of the nature of this sermon, I'm not going to be able to talk about all the things that God's Word says about teaching. I'm just going to talk about some things that I've found interesting as I've been reading God's Word. And I hope that this will just start a discussion that we can have even after services and in weeks in months to come. And I would love to hear the other things that you have found in Scripture that God says to teachers. But the first thing that I want to talk about tonight that teachers must do or should do is that teachers need to teach themselves first so that they can be a helpful example. We find this in a lot of places. In fact, this is one of the biggest teachings that you find in multiple places in Scripture. God is really passionate about teachers being an example and teaching themselves first. Romans chapter 2 and verses 21 through 22 says, "You then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? While you preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say one must not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples?" Helpful example there. Before we teach others, we need to instruct ourselves and make sure that what we're teaching, we're practicing. Titus chapter 2, verses 7 through 8, talks about it from a little bit of a different perspective. Paul tells Titus there, "Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us." I do want to say that this does not mean that we're going to be perfect examples of everything that God's Word says when we teach, and that you can't teach, and none of us can ever teach if we're not perfect examples. That's just simply not the case. We are, as John has said in the past, we are learners who are trying to teach others and teachers who are still learning. I think that's how he said it. Maybe he said it in a different way, but that's the general idea. And so we're not going to be absolutely perfect. However, it is vitally important that as we're studying God's Word to prepare to teach, that we hit ourselves first. If we are studying in preparation to teach simply to hit others and make sure others get this right, then it's not going to come across right in our teaching and in our sharing of things with other people. And so as we're preparing what to say, we need to be digging into our own hearts and correcting ourselves. That's really from the Romans 2 perspective, but then from the Titus perspective, we need to make sure if we're going to be people, especially people who are in the position of teaching more often, that we really watch our words and really watch our character. That's important because we are, even though we're not prophets in the exact sense, we are in a sense in that position. We're saying, "I'm standing in the position of telling you the words that God has said." And because of that, it's really important that we are examples when we're teaching people. Otherwise, as Paul talks about in both of these passages, we and God in his name can be slandered. And so it's really important that we are not hypocritical and that we seek to be good examples. Not going to be perfect. And so humility is important in repenting as we see these things. I know that for sure. A second thing that we see God's word tell teachers that they need to do is, or really an example that we find in Scripture, is that reading the word and giving the sense of the word is the essence of what teaching needs to be. Look at Nehemiah, that passage that I've asked you to turn to. Nehemiah chapter 8, and notice verse 1 with me. "And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could understand what they heard, on the first day of the seventh month. And he read from it, facing the square before the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law." Now, skip down to verse 7. What we basically learn in between are some other details, but I want to focus on verses 7 and 8. The Bible also says here Nehemiah also records here, that there are other people with Ezra who are helping the people understand the word. He lists some other names, and then notice what he says at the end of verse 7, what these people, what these Levites were doing along with Ezra. It says they helped the people to understand the law while the people remained in their places. They read from the law of God clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. I love this text. And I love it because it tells me that teaching is really not that complicated when you think about it. And that's important because a lot of times I'm tempted, and I know teachers in general are tempted, to try to do more than just explain the Word of God to people. And in fact, many teachers make a great name for themselves trying to do more than simply explain the Word of God to people. You notice there in verse 8, what did they do? They read from the book of the law clearly, and then they explained it so that the people understood the reading. As time goes on, teachers will build a name for themselves as either being textual preachers or non-textual preachers. And it's kind of funny, the way we talk about that sometimes, it's as if there should ever be someone other than a textual preacher or teacher. When we're teaching, even if it's just our kids or a Bible class or a friend, let's make it our goal to simply explain God's word to people and not talk off the top of our heads and then try to find some way to fit scripture into that. Simply read the word and explain the word. And let me drive this home even more. Just if you want to have real authority in your teaching like Jesus did, just drive the points that you want to make when you're talking to your kids or talking to your friends or when you're teaching your class, drive the points from the text. When we say, you know, I was sitting around today and I thought about this, and you know, I think I can find that in Scripture too, people aren't going to be impacted by what we have to say. But if in studying the Word we found truths that we are really impacting to us and they fit the situation, share the truth from God's word, and then explain it and talk about it. It's all about getting the order right. If we talk first about our idea and then God's word, it doesn't really have a lot of power. But if we start with God's word and then explain, then it works out to be much better. By the way, if you don't like listening to teaching that is like this, simply explaining the word of God, ask yourself whether or not you like man's ideas or God's ideas more, and then maybe correct some things in your heart. A third thing I think, rather that we find in God's word is that the word needs to burn in the heart of those who teach. It needs to be something that we're really passionate about. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9, when Jeremiah is facing a lot of danger from people because of his teaching that is very controversial, he says, "If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot." Oh, I love that. That's a great picture. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 16, Paul says there, "Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." We need to be passionate about what we teach and believe it in our bones and in our heart. It needs to hurt. Nancy asked me how I was doing tonight, and I told her, "I'm fired up." And I asked her how she was doing. She said she was fired up too. Why am I fired up? I got a fire in my bones, and I got to share it with you. I've got to share it. Too much teaching today from the Bible is a mere information dump. Brothers and sisters, if you feel like what you're about to share with someone is just an information dump, or if you feel like what you're about to share with someone from God's word is something that you could either share or not share, and it's not really a big deal either way, don't share it. We need to be passionate about what we're sharing. Passionate about it. Because when we do that, we will convey to the people we're teaching and instructing that truth is awesome. And we need to convey that emotion because truth is awesome, brothers and sisters. It is. Hold on to it a little bit longer until it becomes a fire in your bones. And then share it with others. Fourth thing that we find that teachers should or must do is that they should teach, must teach all scripture, not just favorite genres or topics. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16 to 17 talk about this. Paul tells Timothy, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." This is difficult to be people who both love reading and love teaching all scripture. And it's difficult for a couple of reasons. One, we get passionate about certain genres or topics or sections of scripture. I have those things that I'm passionate about. Like for the last couple years, if you've talked to me much about scripture, you know I am obsessed with the Pentateuch right now. I cannot get over how awesome the Pentateuch is, all right? Well, that can become a problem if I become so passionate about it that that's all that I teach from God's word. And I just think that's the most important thing ever. Well, all scripture is profitable for teaching. All scripture. It's also difficult because if you are teaching your kids or you're teaching your friends or you're teaching a Bible class here, you're going to find more and more that even though we'll all look at that text and we'll say that we theoretically agree with it, when it comes into practice, I've found that we don't all always agree that all scripture is good for teaching. In fact, what you will hear said sometimes, I don't think that we should really study that, or I don't think that's really good for a Bible class. I don't think we should talk about those things. That's really difficult, or I don't really relate to that, or that's not really applicable. And there'll be it's difficult not just because we'll get passionate about certain things, but because oftentimes the people that we're teaching might not always like those things. And if for some reason we say, I'm going to avoid law, or I'm going to avoid prophetic writings, or I'm going to avoid apocalyptic literature, or certain things, we're missing really important messages from God. This is something that I hope you will find the more you study God's word, especially in places where we have not studied that much before. I hope we will find that there are messages we have been missing that are vital to our growth. When I studied Jeremiah with some friends of mine over the past few months, once a month on Saturday morning, I found that there were things vital to my growth that I needed from Jeremiah that I had been missing because I had been avoiding Jeremiah. When I started studying Revelation a few years ago, I had never really studied it much before, I found that I was missing out on serious, important things that I desperately needed to know for my growth. And I think, I hope that we will find that more and more, because it is absolutely true. It is a mistake, brothers and sisters, to ask, well, what is essential to salvation from God's word, and then teach that. The question is really not even valid. Let me repeat that. Because in churches of Christ, I think this is something that we've really messed up. Ask the question, what is essential for salvation? And then focus on those. And then we become ignorant. I become ignorant in many other important areas of salvation. Not just relating to whether or not we got saved, but whether or not we're going to grow from that foundation. When you read scripture, you're going to find that God doesn't want us to just get saved. And even getting saved is not just about whether or not we're in or whether or not we're out. It's not about that. It's about becoming the people that God wants us to become. It's about being God's representatives on earth. There's so much that God wants to share with us, so that Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, after to people who he knows, they know the foundational truths, but what does he say to them at the end of Ephesians 1? I want the eyes of your heart to be opened so that you know all that God has prepared for you, the hope, the power God has given. And we might say, well, no, I'm satisfied. I got saved. I got the foundational level. Brothers and sisters, we need to study and teach all scripture, because God wants to bring us up from that foundation and build a holy temple into the Lord. And if we just remain at, well, I got baptized, I got faith, I know the one God, then we are only in the milk of the word. And so we need to teach all scripture, not just certain topics, favorite genres, etc. A fifth thing that teachers must do is they must carefully interpret and handle and divide the word. Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. I have found this difficult for a couple of reasons. And by the way, I will say, we're not going to perfectly interpret the word all the time in every circumstance. We're just simply not going to be perfect in that. However, we should aim to be good workers and rightly divide the word. But this is difficult for a couple of reasons. For me, it's difficult because I am in the situation, just like John and other people who teach here regularly, we're in the position of teaching on a very regular basis. And that means that there are regularly scheduled times for us to teach, and it can be easy to shortcut the process to make sure that we have something actually to say on Sunday morning or Wednesday night or in a class. That temptation is big, and every once in a while I'll wonder, should I really spend all these hours studying and preparing to teach? You know, is that really the right use of my time? And at some point I do have to ask, okay, well, if every sermon's taking like 40 hours to prepare, then maybe there's a problem, right? But really, the time to prepare to teach in any of us in any of our circumstances is really important, because then we're going to rightly divide that word. That is important. And so we don't want to shortcut that process just because we have so many opportunities to teach. Another way that I've found that this is difficult is in our commenting in classes and stuff like that. I like how Troxel has brought in the language. Maybe it wasn't Troxel, but at least he's the first one that I heard it from. He told me when I first got here that there are people who are talk thinkers and think talkers. And you know who dominates a class is the talk thinkers. We start talking and then we think about what we're going to say as we're in the middle of talking. Well, that's really actually, those who are talk thinkers are in the danger category, right? I'm a talk thinker naturally. And so I can easily start talking without really having thought about it very well, but I can make you think about that, think that I thought about it really well. And those of us who are talk thinkers, especially, I need to be really careful of this, and all of us who are talk thinkers need to be very careful about this. The more I'm in Bible studies, the more I find that sometimes the things that I'll say, because I'm a talk thinker, naturally, and the things that other people will say who are talk thinkers are not always well thought out or not crafted very well. Let's be people who think carefully about the words that we say when we say them to other people, especially when we're saying this is a correct interpretation of the scripture. Let's be careful about that. Let's avoid putting our own ideas on the text, not shortcut that interpretation process, but be people who have no need to be ashamed when someone says, actually, I don't think that's what that text is about at all. It's a very important. A sixth and final do that we want to talk about tonight before we get to don'ts quickly and goals quickly is that we need to be ready in season and out of season. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5 is the whole context, but just focus on verse 2 there. Paul says to Timothy, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. This is something that comes as a great surprise to me, but especially as I think about it, about the life of this church and the life of our community, the bottom line is that sometimes God's word is going to be out of season. And it might even happen in this church where God's word gets a little bit out of season. It's not something that people readily want to hear. If you are someone who's in the position of teaching regularly, remember that this is something that has happened throughout time. It's something that happened to the prophets when they went to God's people. They didn't want them to talk in the name of the Lord. That's something that happens again and again in Jeremiah. Stop talking to us in the name of the Lord. And then other people say, no, I think we should listen. And other people say, no, kill him. And Jeremiah's like, wow, good grief, guys. Don't kill me. actually, it's more like, fine, do what you want, but I'm going to say what I'm going to say anyway. Look to those prophets. If you're someone who's in the position to teach regularly and you find yourself in a season where God's word is out of season, don't be bothered by that. Try not to be bothered by that. It is bothersome when that happens, but look to the prophets before you who have endured those times and have said, well, y'all decide among yourselves whether or not you're going to kill me or throw me in a mud pit or whatever, or put me on a cross. Y'all decide among yourselves, but I'm just going to keep talking in the name of the Lord. I'm going to keep speaking what he has to say. And that becomes really, really important then for us to keep going in those times. Now some don'ts. Teacher, don't do some of these things here. We're going to talk about four teacher don'ts briefly. And the first thing that we find that I want to talk about is that we ought not and must not relax God's commands. Jesus says in Matthew 5:19, therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. God's law is difficult. And I find that especially when you're teaching other people about those difficult aspects of the law, especially when you find that someone else is not living in accord with God's law, it gets emotional and difficult. And sometimes as a teacher, what you want to do when you see that it gets really difficult for them is you want to just relax the standard a little bit. That's my temptation at times. I think it can be a temptation for anyone who teaches very much to just relax that standard so it doesn't seem so tough. If we give into that temptation, Jesus says we'll be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Let's not give in to that temptation. Let's not give in to that. Instead, when we find that God's law is difficult and we're finding that's really tough to match up to that standard, let's remember that we're saved by grace through faith and not by perfect law keeping. And then, as opposed to changing the standard, say, okay, this is difficult, clearly. Let's try to get to this. Imperfectly, though, we're going to try to get to it, but let's try to get to that standard. And that's the way to handle that emotional difficulty that we find whenever we're teaching and we have that temptation to relax the word of God or the commands of God. A second don't for teachers is that we ought not, must not follow in vain discussions or promote speculation. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, Paul says to Timothy there, "As I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies, which promote speculations rather than stewardship from God that is by faith." Skip down a couple lines. "Certain persons, by swerving from a pure heart, good conscience, have wandered away into vain discussion, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident assertions." Sometimes the people we're teaching, or even teachers of God's word, end up wanting to discuss things that are pointlessly controversial, and they're pointlessly controversial because the Bible just doesn't talk about it or doesn't give a clear answer, or pointlessly speculative, and it's speculative or controversial for that same reason. God's word simply doesn't address it. Let us not be that teacher who promotes speculation or promotes that kind of discussion, or follows into that type of controversy or speculation. There are just simply a lot of things God's word does not talk about. Why should we get involved in talking about those things, especially with the time that we have in our classes or with our children or with our friends? Let's be people who speak as the oracles of God, not people who speculate on a wide variety of things, political issues, ideas about God, how to live your life, how to do this and that. Let's be people who don't follow those vain discussions. A third teacher don't is that we must not make our aim to sound wise and eloquent. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17, Paul says there, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power." As we're speaking with people, instructing people, there's going to be this temptation to try to be that great wise person that has all the answers, or who always sounds eloquent, or always has a nice little meme to share, or something like that. Let us not aim to be those people. It doesn't mean that we can't aim to speak well, especially if we find ourselves in this situation where we're teaching a lot. It doesn't mean that we can't try to speak clearly or well. But if our main goal or aim is to sound wise and eloquent and for people to think that we're really cool and wise, all we're doing is promoting our own name for our own glory. It becomes more about us, and it takes the focus. Notice the text here. He says it takes the focus off of and really empties the cross of Christ of its power. We want to be people who rely on the word of God and the message of God, not on our wisdom or eloquence to sound really great and snazzy. A fourth and final don't for teachers is we must not speak from our own authority or head. I love what Jesus says when he's talking to the Jews in Jerusalem in John chapter 7 and verse 18, and they don't know if he's really from God. He says, "The one who speaks on his own authority seeks his own glory." This is why we should not aim to sound super eloquent or wise. This is why getting away from being, if we're teachers in any capacity, getting away from textual teaching the word of God is dangerous. If we stand up here and says, I have four ideas about how to have a good life today. And here's my first good idea. And then every once in a while, quote a scripture. Here's my second good idea, you know, that I thought while I was, you know, musing on my toilet. This is my third good idea. All we're doing, really, is trying to glorify our own name because we want people to think that we're wise and we came up with some good idea. He says, if we're speaking from our own authority, from my experience about life, well, it needs to be from the experience of God's word. Jesus says there, you know how you know that I'm really from God and that you need to give honor to my words is because my words come from the Father who is in heaven. If we're seeking our own glory, and trying to build a name for ourselves through teaching, that is danger, danger, danger. You notice here in all these things that we've talked about, whether teacher do or teacher don't, we find that there's no goals about needing to be entertaining. Whenever we're teaching it, we shouldn't think, well, how can I entertain the people? Or how can I make people feel good? Or how can I make people feel bad? Or how can I be interesting? It's not about that. And if we try to aim for any of those things, whether making people feel good or bad or being interesting or entertaining, then we're going to miss the goal that God gives us to simply preach and teach God's word whenever we're instructing others. Three quick goals, and then the lesson will be yours. We need to speak to please God and not man. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 is a big chapter on teaching. Encourage you to read it. But he says there, Paul says there in verses 4 to 5, just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery. The responses of people to our teaching will vary. Some people will connect with it, some people won't. But if we're teaching God's word, then that is simply then if we're teaching to please God, rather, that is what we need to do, whether or not people like the teaching or don't like the teaching, because the responses will vary. And so when people do not always respond well, or when people do respond well, when you receive lots of compliments on your teaching, hey, I thought you taught a great class, or hey, I was talking to you about suffering and you gave me some good instruction from God's word. Thank you for that. It doesn't matter what it is, a compliment or a criticism. Remember, we didn't do it for the compliment. We did it for God, and we're trying to please him. And if we are leaving that goal, then we'll get in big trouble. Second, we need to judge our success in teaching by God's word, not by anything else. One example of another way to judge ourselves is by comparing ourselves to others, as Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He says they were comparing themselves with other people. Really, the bottom line is that there's a lot of bad ways to judge our teaching. If we spoke what the word of God was in love, we succeeded. Now, there might be other peripherals and ways to get better at doing that, but the bottom line is that if we spoke the word of God in love, then you taught well, and so you don't need to be insecure about that if you met that goal. If that was not what we did, then we should feel insecure if we talked off the top of our head or whatever. Third and final goal that we find in God's word that I aim for, it won't happen every single time, but deep biblical teaching can make people's hearts burn inside them and bring life change. I love the responses to Jesus' teaching that we find in the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 7, the people loved it when Jesus spoke. They said, wow, he speaks differently than all the other teachers because he speaks with authority. And I love what's said of Jesus in Luke chapter 24 after the resurrection, when he explains to those two on the road to Emmaus how you can find him in all the scriptures, the things concerning him. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" If we talk off the top of our heads, if we give people our opinions or 7 points on how to make their lives better that we thought of while we were sitting on our couch, we will not cause people's hearts to burn inside them. But if we share with people the Word of God in our instruction, whether it be personal instruction in private conversations or in group instruction, we can make people's hearts burn inside them as we share with them the Word of God, because that is the thing that has power to change people's lives. If you need help in your walk with God and help in changing your life, then we encourage you to talk to us about that. We want to be teachers who don't give you advice off the top of our heads, but people who help you learn God's Word, because that is going to help you change your life. And so if you do need that help, let us know. Come forward to the front while we stand and sing.